In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. As we look at the Passion according to St. Matthew, I want you to know that this is the most important thing that Jesus did, taking upon himself the sins of the world, my sins and your sins. He was like a woman giving birth. He said, "When I am lifted up," in John's Gospel, "I will draw all men unto myself. I will draw everyone unto myself." Each one of us were drawn into the heart of Jesus as that heart was being pierced with a lance. Let me tell you, this is the most important experience that we have in the Bible, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 27 of Matthew. When the morning had come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Why? They are jealous. They are jealous. That's a terrible thing, to be jealous of anybody. It's a terrible thing because we don't know what other people are carrying. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he was condemned, he repented in himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See you to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Poor Judas didn't have enough confidence in Jesus that Jesus would forgive him. Poor Judas. Poor Judas. The priests took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for us to put them in the treasury, because it was the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this very day. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed." In other words, a fulfillment of Scripture, even to the 30 pieces of silver, that they would buy the potter's field for strangers. And Jesus stood before the governor, before Pilate, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "You say it." Jesus isn't going to say very much here because he's absorbing the sins of the world. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Why? He's busy drawing into himself your sins, your fears, my sins, my fears, all drawn into Jesus. He kept quiet. And Jesus answered nothing and said, Pilate unto Jesus, "Hear you not how many things they witness against you?" And he answered Pilate not a word. Again, he's drawing to himself the sins of the world. He's drawing to himself your panic, your fear, your brokenness. And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was usually to release unto the people one prisoner whom the people wanted. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will you have me release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who was called the Messiah. And he knew that for envy they had delivered Jesus up. We know that. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were jealous and envious. It's the worst thing to do, is to be jealous and envious. Now, when he was set down to the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." So Pilate's wife has a dream about Jesus. Don't do anything to this just man. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Let me tell you that you are Barabbas, and I am Barabbas. We were meant to die, but Jesus gave his life for you and for me. You and I are Barabbas. Destroy Jesus. How sick. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas, Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They all said to him, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said, "What evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Then Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am clear of innocent blood of the just person." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us." What an awful thing to say. The Jewish people cried out, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered Jesus up to be crucified. So first they scourged Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we were healed. When they scourged Jesus, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Oh, they're mocking Jesus. Not only are they crucifying Jesus, but now they're mocking Jesus. And they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed their knee before him, and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They're having fun with Jesus. But Jesus at this time is absorbing more and more and more. He says nothing. Imagine the one who healed the sick, the one who raised the dead, the one who multiplied food. Now he is mocked. He mocked by the people. A crown of thorns is placed upon his head, and they cry out, "Hail, the King of the Jews." And they spit upon him. That's one of the most terrible things that you can do to people, to spit in their face. And took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they mocked Jesus. They took his robe off from him and put on his own clothes and led him away to crucify him. If we only knew what was happening in these moments, if we only knew what Jesus was doing in these moments, absorbing our darkness, absorbing our sins, absorbing our sicknesses. By his stripes we were healed. If we only knew that Jesus didn't speak because he was busy about doing something. It started in Gethsemane when he cried out that this cup would pass from me. And God sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. Never again does Jesus say, "Let the agony that I'm experiencing pass from me." The angel strengthened Jesus. And I hope he sends an angel to you today to strengthen you. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene in Africa, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear the cross of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is weak. Jesus is tired. Simon of Cyrene, the black man from Africa. Let me tell you, Mark tells us he was the father of Alexander and Rufus, which means Alexander and Rufus were known to the community of Mark, and they were Christians. And Simon of Cyrene became a Christian. Oh, yes, he is the father of Alexander and Rufus. The people in Rome knew Alexander and Rufus. How did Simon get converted? By carrying the cross. One look from Jesus' eyes melted his heart. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene by name to bear his cross. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted, he would not drink. And they crucified Jesus, and they parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they cast lots. That's David said that in one of the Psalms, Psalm 22. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." My Lord, my Lord. His accusation is absolutely true. Then were there two thieves crucified with Jesus, one on the right and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "You destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." He couldn't come down from the cross. He had to finish the work that the Father gave him. He had to draw all men unto himself. Likewise also the chief priests mocked him, and the scribes and elders said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." No, they wouldn't believe him. They were too jealous. You see, Jesus spoke with authority. There was no authority in the scribes and Pharisees. There was no authority. They spoke words. Jesus spoke with authority. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cast out demons. Jesus spoke to the crowds. Jesus multiplied bread. Jesus multiplied wine. Oh, yes, he has authority. Remember what Mary said in the second chapter of St. John. Do whatever he tells you to do. And Jesus right now is doing what the Father told him he would do. That would be to bear the sins of the nations of the world. And they said, "He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Jesus is the eternal Son of the Father. He is eternally begotten of the Father. Jesus is the Son of God, not by grace, but by reality. We are children of God by grace. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same thing in their teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He felt forsaken by the Father. Now the door is completely closed between Jesus and the Father. He took our being forsaken, and he took it himself and broke it. Hallelujah. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, Let it be. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him." Jesus then cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. very quiet now. Jesus has taken it all. It is finished now, it says in John. It is finished. It is finished. What is finished? I have become a sin offering. I have become sin, and I have conquered sin by my death, by my burial, and by my resurrection. It is finished. And he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, let me tell you what that means. That's very important. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The temple veil separated the holy place from the most holy place. Now we have access into the most holy place through the wounds of Jesus. No longer is it only the high priest going into the most holy place, but we can go into the most holy place with all the certitude of being heard, because the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom. You see, we have access to the Heavenly Father. We have access to the throne of God. We have access to God Himself through the blood of Jesus. No more is it only the holy, the high priest that can go into the Holy of Holies, but we can have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus now. No more only the high priest. The littlest Christian has access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. Let's continue. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. That's because God did it, not man, from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. This is amazing. That in Jerusalem, those bodies that were buried, that were saints of God, started to walk through the city. No one ever preaches about that. That these saints of God in the Old Testament that were buried in Israel, buried in Jerusalem, started to get up out of their tombs, and they were walking among the people. I wonder what people were saying then. My Lord, there's Habakkuk, there's Jeremiah, there's Isaiah, there's Joseph, whose bones were brought back to Jerusalem. Listen, this is real. The bones of Joseph became alive, and he took on flesh, glorified flesh, and he started walking amidst the places in Jerusalem. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. He is the Son of God by nature. We are sons of God by grace. Now, who is this centurion? He is a Gentile. He is a Gentile. And he says, surely this is the Son of God. Oh, now the death and resurrection will open up salvation not only to the Jew first, but also to the Greeks and the Gentiles. Many women were beholding from afar off, and they followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. Among these were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children, James and John. When even has come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciples. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled back the great stone of the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulcher. Now on the next day, they followed the day of preparation, and the chief priests and Pharisees came together with Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that this deceiver, this impostor, imagine they calling Jesus an impostor, said, While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. But I tell you, death could not hold Jesus. Why? He is the way, the truth, and the life. He did it all for you. He did it all for me. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. They went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. That's the end of the crucifixion and passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our salvation, people. This is our salvation. We should be reading these things over and over again, because this is our salvation, that Jesus mounted the cross out of love for you and out of love for me, that he mounted the cross to absorb from us our sinful nature. He mounted the cross to absorb from us all the things that we're afraid of, all the things that hurt us. Jesus mounted the cross out of love. It was done out of love for you. And they call him an impostor. He is not an impostor. He is the Father's only Son. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is full of grace and full of truth. He is Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Hallelujah. Let me invite you to the days of glory that are going to take place between November 5th and 8th at the Crown Plaza Holiday Inn. If you'd like to do it on the internet, the website is very easy, daysofglory.org, daysofglory.org, and you can find out more about it. daysofglory.org, daysofglory.org. You see, there's no one like Jesus. He's not only the King of the Jews, he is the King of the world. He has defeated Satan on the cross. He has defeated Satan. We just had that terrible, miserable day called Halloween. Someone called me up and said, there is nothing happy about Halloween. If people only knew what happens to people at Halloween, they would never say happy Halloween. This is the Feast of the Dead, they call it in witchcraft, the Feast of the Dead. Let me tell you, don't ever play with the gift of pray against, don't ever see yourself joining in the Halloween festivities. The Pope says Catholics have nothing to do with Halloween. Why? Because it's an evil feast. It's an evil feast. And I should have said this last week, but I didn't. But I want to tell you, from now on, never say we celebrate Halloween. Never say we celebrate. No, it is the Feast of the Dead. But today, we honor the poor souls of purgatory. Today is the Feast of the Poor Souls in Purgatory. Yesterday was the Feast of All Saints. So today we say, Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. If you'd like to leave a gift on the internet for us, it's www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Passion tells us that God so loved you, God so loved me, God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son in crucifixion, that whoever believes in Jesus would have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it. He doesn't condemn you, but that the world might be saved through him. Salvation has come through the cross of Jesus Christ. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. You have set us free. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.